In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Why are Americans ashamed of who we are? Think about it. Too many people today have a guilt complex about being an American. Certainly our current leaders do. Obama is embarrassed by America. Hillary and Bernie are. You can tell because they always point to Europe as though somehow they're better than us. Free healthcare, socialized economies, and so on. None of which actually work, but that's beside the point. When a tragedy strikes like Orlando, our leaders immediately try to blame America, and by extension, all Americans. You're the problem if you believe in the Second Amendment. You're the problem if you're a Christian and you point to the violence inherent in the Islamic faith. You have to change. There is, and has been for some time, a movement afoot to make America ashamed of who it is, of who we are, of what we believe in, and to destroy us by using our own success. There's an interesting phenomenon called imposter syndrome. It's a condition where high achievers are convinced they do not deserve their own success. They dismiss their success as just luck, or that they've managed to deceive people into believing that they are more intelligent and competent than they really are. And so they live in constant fear of being exposed as a fraud. America is suffering from imposter syndrome. We've been made to feel guilty for our success, and so we must share it with others. No, that's not the answer. One of the worst things that you can do to a gifted child is to make them feel guilty about being gifted. If you're a parent of a gifted child, you should do everything possible to encourage them and to be successful. Why? Because their success will give others something to aspire to be as talented and as successful as they are. America should be that gifted child, saying, here's how we did it. These are the liberties and freedoms you need to be successful. These are the economic practices we did to make ourselves successful. Here's what you need to do to also be successful. America is being sabotaged by our own leaders. Do they mean to do it because they want to destroy America? Or are they guilty of their own success? Maybe they're utterly incompetent. It really doesn't matter. The effect is the same. On today's show, attacks on America. Coming up in the second half of our show, Jeff Schwilk on the impact of open borders, a less secure America, homegrown terrorists, and the attacks on American culture. But first up, I'd like to welcome now Chris Bowers. He is a former state legislator from Idaho. He is the writer, director, and producer of the phenomenal documentary film Agenda, Grinding America Down. And he has a new film out, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. Curtis, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, your previous film was about the purposeful weakening of America. What will people learn in this new film?
The new film brings that agenda kind of into today. Instead of the history of how we've gotten to where we are, it shows how that same agenda is being used today, specifically in many of the different issues that we are facing.
So this new film, and we're going to make sure that we put the trailer up on iSpyRadio.com for today's show. That's 6:25. And this new film talks about the manipulation of the evangelical church. I found that very interesting. What do you mean by that, and how has it been manipulated?
Well, what's happened is, as you study, again, their own documents and their records, even going back to the congressional record in 1953, I found testimony from different top communist officials that our Congress had interviewed back then that had defected to our side. And when they were asked, what is the main thing you're doing to take America down from within? They said, one of them even being the founder of the Communist Party USA, he said, our main goal has been to get into and subvert the Christian churches in America. He said, since the 30s, we have been going into their seminaries and divinity schools and becoming teachers and professors to turn it away from the Bible and to turn it into more of a social club that we can use to push our social programs and agendas like social justice or whatever it might be. And so I am a Christian, and I've been in the evangelical church since I was a boy, and I have seen the tremendous changes. It is unbelievable what has happened over the last 40 or 50 years. 90%, this shows how successful they have been, 90% of our seminaries, the evangelical seminaries in America, do not even believe anymore that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, which is kind of the foundation of Christianity. So that's how successful they have been.
Wow. It's not surprising, really, because here in Oregon, we've got this thing called the Oregon Health Authority. And as part of that, they have this whole guidebook on promoting sexuality within youth, not just sex education, but sexuality. And as part of that, they say right in there that it's part of their strategy to go off and enlist the help of faith leaders. And I found that really surprising that here they are promoting sexuality, and yet they're trying to pull in these faith leaders.
Right, and they're probably finding a very ripe crowd that will help them promote those things. It's just, it's really come off the tracks, and it's sad, because then what used to be kind of the pillar and ground of the truth, the anchor of our culture that kept it from sliding too far one way or the other, is not there anymore. And that's why I think we've seen the tremendous drift over the last 30 years and 10 years specifically. It's starting to just go off the deep end.
Right. Yeah, it sure is. And also in the trailer for your second film, it mentions the promotion of Islam. And we've certainly seen how progressives and liberals and Democrats all promote and defend Islam far more so than they do for Christianity. But why do they support Islam when Islam poses such a massive threat to progressive ideology?
I think of all the issues, that issue exposes them more to what their real agenda is than anything. Because, I mean, think about it. Islam doesn't believe in women's rights. The left says they're all for women's rights. And, you know, a husband can beat his wife, and that's totally fine in that system. Homosexuals are stoned to death, and they act like they're for homosexual rights. It's all these different things. You look at them, you go, why would you be pushing this group that's against everything you said you were for? And I think it really exposes them that they're not what they said they're for. They are for destroying our freedoms and Christianity specifically. And it's, I think it exposes them more than anything, because we just see, and we're going to see more and more every day and month that goes by, like the things that happened last week. It's going to keep escalating, because there is a conflict of worldviews that cannot coexist.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming up, we're going to be talking some about more about some of the current events, especially the election. And we're talking to Curtis Bauer. His new film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, is being shown all around Oregon. And stay tuned for details on that. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, helping you get a little more intelligence on big government. We're talking today with Curtis Bauer. He is the writer, director, and producer of the phenomenal directory, a documentary film, Agenda, Grinding America Down, and his new film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, is out now. And stay tuned. We're going to be talking about where you can catch that. It's being shown all around Oregon. And Curtis is going to be at those events, and he'll be doing some Q&A afterwards. So definitely be on the lookout for those. So Curtis, one of the biggest threats right now is this massive flood of immigrants. And just Thursday, the CIA chief told Congress that ISIS has posed as immigrants coming across our borders, and they are also posing as refugees. So is this issue of open borders part of an actual strategy for these people that are trying to take down America, or is it just an issue that just sort of helps destroy America, and so they're happy to piggyback on it?
Yes, it's one of the things. They've been working to destroy Western civilization for over 100 years, and one of the best ways to do that is to continue to allow people to come in that do not want to be a part of what's going on in America. They want to have their own version of their world and stuff. So yeah, it's clear that open borders has been one of the key since the 60s. If you read the left, different writings from Saul Alinsky to so many others, that was a key thing. You want to assimilate as many other people that aren't like you into your system. So it will just start to fall apart. It will start to not be cohesive. It won't be unified. And it will just collapse from within.
That's right. So the problem with deceit is that if it's working, no one knows it. And even when it's exposed, a lot of people just won't believe it. So How far up does this go, and have both parties been corrupted?
Well, absolutely at the higher levels, unfortunately. And we see that by the people that are representing us and then the leaders of the Republican Party at the national level. They are in it for power and control, pretty much similar to the other side. I think if you go down to the grassroots level of the parties, there's tremendous difference of the purpose and the love for this country and the patriotism and things like that. So I think there's completely different things. But yes, it's power, like the old saying goes, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have allowed our representatives to have too much power, to be able to do things they're not allowed to do by the Constitution. And they do it, and we just whine, but we don't stop them. Obama has over 50 times directly broken his oath of office while he's been in there, clearly against the Constitution. And yet not even one of our representatives will stand up and say, this needs to be investigated. He's breaking his oath. We need to, you know, start impeachment hearings to just look into it, to see if this has really happened. And no one will do it. Not one out of the 535 in there. So it's a big problem.
Well, and I do look especially at the leaders of the Republican Party who have had chance after chance to stomp Obama, and they are not. And I'm looking especially right now at Paul Ryan, who in a recent article I called him a sock puppet for the media. But, you know, I look at him and I'm thinking, this guy is trying to get Hillary into office. I don't know any other way to look at this. So you look at somebody like Paul Ryan, and the question then is, did they go into all of this with the idea of destroying America, or have they been corrupted, as you say?
No, I think what's happened over about the last 50 years, and I saw this when I was in the legislature, is politics has kind of been known as dirty and whatever. And so the decent, normal guy that should be in there, he's like, I don't have any interest in that. I do not want to be in politics. So the people that are in there, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, for the most part, they are people that were attracted to those positions because they love the title. They love, like, ooh, I'd like to be called a representative or senator. And so they're there for the wrong reason. And so once you get in that system, you realize the way to keep that name tag is to do what the lobbyists tell you to do, not what the people tell you to do, because they'll benefit you a lot more and donate a lot more to your causes than your people will. They're not even paying attention to what you do most of the time anyway. So even the decent guy that has a problem with power and titles and positions, he maybe went in there half decent, but he learns real quickly that's not the way things work here. And so the system is so corrupt, it very quickly then pushes him to the level where he realizes, hey, I've got to play the game if I want to keep my name tag. And since having the name tag was the only reason he went to begin with, he's willing to do whatever.
One of the more shocking claims in your trailer there for Agenda 2 is that you mentioned that the leaders of the New World Order and whatnot want to eliminate 6.5 billion people by the end of the century. Does Hillary subscribe to that notion? And if so, how do you know?
Therefore, the environmental movement, clearly, it's not a hidden thing anymore. They say, you ask any top environmentalist, if you read the Earth Charter, which is supposed to be the new Ten Commandments for the 21st century of the environmental movement, it says we have to keep the world's population below 500 million people. And it has to get there quickly because we're all going to die if it doesn't, which is crazy. We have 7 billion people now. So, yes, they do. They realize population control. Bill Gates is a huge player behind this, wanting to through sterilization, through abortion, and other means. They want to eliminate as many and as quickly as they can. So, it's scary when people in power start talking those kind of foolish words. When the world could handle 100 billion people with no problem whatsoever. We don't use a fraction of the Earth's surface or a fraction of its resources right now. And yet they're demanding this because it's about power and control. The environmental movement is the most powerful vehicle for total control that there's ever been. And they're able to do it as the good guys. Hey, we're saving the planet. And 35 and under have bought into what they're saying. And so we know where we're going to be heading in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Curtis, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right, here is the list of cities and dates where Curtis will be appearing in Oregon. They will be showing Agenda 2, followed by a Q&A with Curtis. For full details, including addresses, see the events tab on iSpyRadio.com. Monday, June 20th, he will be in Roseburg. On Tuesday, he will be in Coquille. On Wednesday, he will be in Eugene, Springfield. On Thursday, June 23rd, he is in Portland. On Friday, he's in Prineville. And then on Saturday, wrapping things up in Baker City. Again, for all locations and dates and times, see iSpyRadio.com on the events page. Up next, border security with Jeff Wilk. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. And remember what Curtis was saying there about the left opening the borders in order to subvert and divide America? Well, we're going to shift to that now, and how open borders and how the issue of unfettered, unchecked, and illegal immigration are all being used to tear at the foundation of America. We are a nation of immigrants, that's true, but there is a difference between invaders and immigrants, and our current immigration policy encourages invaders, not immigrants. Immigrants come seeking a better life and to add to our society. Invaders come to pillage and to take from society. Invaders come for no other reason than to destroy. This is far, far different than immigration 50 or 100 years ago. It's not just a society change. It is a policy change. I'd like to welcome Jeff Schwilk. He is a retired Marine intelligence analyst and a border security expert in San Diego County, California. He has logged over 1,500 hours on the southern border and meets frequently with local and national politicians to discuss America's border security and illegal immigration crisis. His webpage is San Diegans for Secure Borders. That's just SDSBWeebly.com, and we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Mark. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so let's start with what drew us to you, the judge in the Trump University case. So is Trump right to question the judge's ability to be fair?
I think so, absolutely. When you look into this judge, and I was at the rally in San Diego about 2.5 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago now, when Trump made those comments to the audience in his speech, and I was a little surprised that he went after him so hard. But I understand the judge has made some rulings against him that has quietly escaped the media, and so he was angry and he's upset at the way this case is going. He feels it's like a merit that should have been tossed a long time ago. So. Obviously, he's been questioning this judge, and then he brought this out to the public at our speech in San Diego. And it was very strong words. He said, this guy's a hater, and he needs to be looked into, and we think he's a Mexican. You know, Trump is not the most eloquent with his words, but what he was trying to say is, look, this guy has a very strong Mexican heritage, background, and more importantly, what he didn't say, when you do look at it, is that he has current ties with radical Mexican open border leftist groups and strong ties. And he's had these ties for apparently a long, long time and definitely has them still to this day. And that absolutely would make him biased. It would be like a judge with ties to the KKK, you know, being on the bench deciding cases against minorities. It would be an outrage, and everybody would agree. But for some reason, a Mexican judge who, you know, with all this Mexican heritage, who belongs to radical Mexican groups, we don't question that. It's like, well, we have to. I mean, what's his motivations for? Is he going to be impartial in the trial? And has he been impartial and fair to this point? It doesn't seem that he has been, and it seems that his ties to radical groups are probably influencing his decisions.
Well, you know, it used to be that if there was even a chance of being perceived as having a conflict of interest, a judge would recuse himself. And yet here this guy has all of these deep ties to Mexico and to these Mexican organizations and whatnot. And obviously Trump has been talking about building a wall there, so he could see how there would be that perception that he could have a conflict of interest.
Absolutely. I mean, Trump is the more American voice right now, the only one really. When Ted Cruz was in the race, he was, but now that he's out of the race, I mean, Trump has the national voice saying we need to secure that border, we need to stop illegal immigration, we need to send illegal aliens back home to wherever they came from when they're caught, and let's get this problem under control. Same thing the American people have been screaming about for 20, 25 years. We finally have a spokesman on the national stage with a megaphone saying it all the time in every speech. So, of course, the open border forces and operatives, including people like Judge Curiel and his associates with La Raza, would be against that. They're absolutely horrified by that. That goes against everything they work for and advocate. So it's a huge conflict of interest. I read something that Trump's legal team has not, to this point, ever requested a change of judge or change of venue. And that's a little surprising because this case has been kind of dragging through the courts for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I think Curiel got assigned the case in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. So he's had the case for 3 years. You'd think that with everything we know now, and I have sent a lot of this stuff directly to Corey at the Trump campaign, so he knows what's going on, or he should. And the team should know. They absolutely should request a change of judge. He's not going to get a fair trial, in my opinion.
I wouldn't think so. Of course, when this first came out, and it became known that he was part of this La Raza's Lawyers Association of San Diego. What became the dominating theme then in the media was that, well, it's not La Raza, the national group, but are there any ties between that group and the national group?
Oh, absolutely. There's ties. If you go on the webpage for San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association, right there on their homepage, it lists the links of their associates and affiliates, and there's the National Council of La Raza right there. So, I mean, they share the same name. It'd be like saying, well, the KKK is not the same thing as the KKK Lawyers Association.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, they're the same name. The name means the race. That's not an accident. They picked that name because they could have been the Latino Lawyers Association or the National Council of Latinos or Mexican Americans, but no, they chose the name La Raza decades ago as part of the radical uprising movement, most that started, I believe, in California here. And, they advocate the basically the overthrow of our government and the returning of land to in their minds, it's really stealing the land for Mexico and annexing it and making it part of Mexico. So it has deep ties. I'm reading a great article about it right now that was written last week about it. And the more information that comes out about all this, it ties right together. And it's a big conflict. And I feel sorry for anybody that steps before these judges and these lawyers knowing that their loyalties are to Mexico.
Yeah.
And how, if you have any, leanings towards America, sovereignty, secure borders, how on earth would you get a fair shake from these people? Their loyalties are to a foreign country.
Yep, exactly.
That's
right.
That's pretty scary, I think.
Yep. I absolutely agree with that 100%. And besides, if you're a judge, why are you a member of an advocacy group in the first place? Judges are supposed to be impartial. An advocacy group, by definition, means that you're one-sided. All right, we do need to take a break. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the border, homegrown terrorists, and lots more. Stay with us. We're talking attacks on America today here on the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Jeff Schwilk, a retired Marine intelligence analyst and a border security expert based in San Diego County, California. We talked previously with Curtis Bowers, a filmmaker behind Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. It is being shown around Oregon, including in our radio station's broadcast areas, Portland, Roseburg, and Baker City. See iSpyRadio.com's event page for more details on that. One line of attack here on America and her ideals and her sovereignty is this notion of open borders. Immigration is now being used as a weapon. Even the CIA chief admitted as much this week, contrary to Obama's stance on all this. So let's talk about the San Diego border. The San Bernardino attack happened in December of 2015. Here we are about 7 months later. What have you seen in the way of changes to border security down there?
I personally have not seen any changes. I don't live right on the border. I'm in Oceanside, about 55 miles north of the border, 60 miles. So in a way, I'm that's a good thing. I don't like being near the border. When I do go down there, it's not as calm a place as people think. Especially, San Diego is only 15 miles from the border, and San Diego is one of the top tourist destinations. Everybody just loves coming to San Diego, especially this time of year, nice and mild. But what lies just 15 miles south on that border with Tijuana is horrifying to me. It was horrifying when I first went there in 2005. And I saw how lightly guarded it was with the fencing and the lack of agents down there. And it really hasn't gotten that much better in the last 11 years. There's been some fencing completed, and it's good. It's double fencing, Israel-style double fencing. We have 15 miles of that in San Diego. But you go past that, you go to the end of that fence just east of San Diego, and it's the Wild West again. It's wide open, and anybody can and does come through there. I was just reading an article in our Union Tribune last week that the San Diego sector has caught 683 Chinese illegal immigrants mm-hmm. coming through our sector just in the past year. That's about a 30-fold increase from the couple of years previous to that. So it's not even just Mexican criminals and what we've been getting for years and years. It's everybody's coming through. And, of course, we know from Border Patrol statistics, they only catch about one out of three, and that's been pretty constant for a long, long, long time, probably forever. But they catch about one out of three. So when you see the annual statistics come out from the Border Patrol from Washington saying, oh, we caught 400,000 illegals coming across the border, take that number and extrapolate it that, you know, about 800,000 to a million got through because they only catch one out of three. Mm. So, you know, when they say there's nobody coming, that's just an absolute lie.
Yeah,
it's
total
a
lie.
Daily flood of drugs and illegals. And with the illegals, you just know what you're getting. They get Middle Easterners down there all the time. Afghanis, Iraqis, Iranians, everybody comes through. It's not just Mexicans. Of course, the vast majority are Mexican citizens. Coming here to meet up with their friends and relatives, get that job, but then you have all the others that are Mexican, and that's pretty alarming. I couldn't believe it was 683 Chinese, because they have to come from China first, and then go to Mexico, and then sneak across the border. And they pay $50,000 to $70,000 a piece to do that, because it's such a big ordeal. But they're willing to do it just to get that job or opportunity that they don't think they have in China. So it's India, it's everywhere. We're getting illegals from everywhere through the San Diego, California border, and probably all along the border too. So it's really pretty daunting, pretty scary. And from a terrorism standpoint, ISIS guys can walk right through just like anybody else. And
wow.
they're much more sophisticated. They're much less likely to get caught. And that's what people need to keep in mind when they think about the border and how we guard it and how we protect it. It's I hate to use the word, but it's kind of half-assed. I mean, we just don't put the resources in there to really securing it. There's a lot of agents, there's some new fencing, but it doesn't work yet. And that's why Trump is on to something, saying we're going to really put the focus on it and we're going to fix this problem.
So on previous shows, we've talked to other guests that have also said that there's this huge influx of people coming from China and from other points, you know, regardless of Middle East or wherever, and they all go through Mexico. And in asking them, I said, why do that when you can just land in America and, you know, get off the boat here and go on about your merry way? Why are they coming through Mexico? Does Mexico have absolutely no policies at all to stop people coming in from China, or are they shedding their IDs? Why do they all funnel up through Mexico? We've got about 2 minutes here.
I'm not really sure of that, other than we know that Mexico's policy is if you're a foreigner and you show up in Mexico, whether you cross their southern border or you fly in or you arrive by boat or however you get into that country, if you're a foreigner, as long as you're on your way north, they don't seem to care. They'll practically give you a ride to the border if you need it, just to make sure you don't stay and become a burden on them, which most people don't, because why would you stop in Mexico when the land of plenty is, you know, just a few hundred miles north? So their destination is all America. Nobody that I know of goes to Mexico, you know, to illegally immigrate to their country because it's so great. They all want to come here, but they have to use Mexico as that stopping point, that stepping stone. And I just don't think there's any enforcement there. As long as you're just transiting, that's fine. Just keep on going north and get out of here and don't come back. So that seems to be their policy. It seems to have been that way for a long, long time. I don't see any change in that. So I don't know the details of why they do it, other than it must be pretty easy. If you get off a plane and you get your passport and visa stamp, now you're in some kind of database in the U.S. government. If you cross that border and you never meet a federal agent, then you're home free and you can live here pretty high on the hog as an illegal alien, at least under Obama. And if Hillary gets elected, same thing or worse. So I would do the same thing if I was illegal. That's the great way to do it. If Trump gets elected, they're going to be in deep trouble because if they're caught without any kind of paperwork, they're going back, whether it's China, Vietnam, Mexico, whatever. And hopefully they're going home because that's what the people are demanding, and that's what he promises to do. So hopefully that's in the cards coming up.
Hopefully. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right there. Coming up, we're going to be talking about homegrown terrorism. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Jeff Schwilk, a retired Marine intelligence analyst and a border security expert based in San Diego County. And Jeff, before we get into the homegrown terrorism aspect of things, you had mentioned that if Trump gets into office, there are some fixes here. Do you have pretty good confidence that this system can be fixed?
Oh, absolutely, it can be fixed. Just seeing what Arizona did about 4 or 5 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, with their SB 1070 law, they basically, the governor Jan Brewer and some other state legislators there said, basically they said exactly what Trump is saying now, but they said it back 4 or 5 years ago. They said, you know what, this is out of control. We're on a border state. We're getting invaded. Drugs, killers, cartel members, wielding AK-47s. You know, it was a war zone in Arizona. And they said, we've got to do something. And if the Obama's not going to do it, federal government's not going to take action, we'll do it. So they enacted 1070, and that basically said, we're going to enforce federal laws. We're going to take the laws on the books and enforce them locally in our state, both in regards to employing illegals and when cops catch them, making sure they don't get released and get turned over to the authorities for deportation, all that. So 1070 went into effect, and contrary to the media spin and lies, most of it actually survived the challenges in the courts and is law to this day. And I was just in Arizona for about 8 days last week, northern part of Arizona. It seems night and day to California. When I go there, I feel like I crossed into America. There's law and order. There's respect. Of course, the Second Amendment laws there have a lot to do with that, too. That kind of discourages mass shootings and things of that nature when anybody and everybody could be armed legally there, as opposed to where I live in California. But, these laws absolutely work when they're enforced. They have the deterrence effect. Illegals do not want to be in Arizona. They don't want to live in fear. They don't want to be afraid of getting pulled over by a cop because they don't have anything to identify themselves and could and should be turned over to ICE. So they go to the other 49 states. So Arizona is the example for every state and the country as a whole that if you just enforce your laws, return to law and order, return to a system of legal immigration and respect for law enforcement and respect for that border, then, you know, the problem starts to go away very rapidly. And I think Trump is onto that. He's a very smart man. And, of course, it's been his top promise for 12 months now. He's going to take care of the problem, both at the border and in our states and cities. So I have a lot of faith and confidence that he's got a great team with Senator Jeff Sessions, who's the top guy in Washington fighting illegal immigration. He's endorsed by Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's and other anti-illegal immigration personalities and groups. So I think we finally got a winning candidate here that can take care of this problem. And once you get rid of illegal immigration, or at least bring it under control, a lot of the other problems in our country start to subside too, such as the terrorism threat and the threat of foreigners just walking in here to do mass harm to our citizens. So it's all tied together, and it really needs to be dealt with. I think Trump is tapping into that.
Yeah, people really don't seem to understand how immigration is so tied to so many different problems here. On high unemployment numbers, where 96 million Americans just can't find jobs. You've got all of these people flooding the healthcare system, and of course that then raises all the costs for everybody else. I mean, it just goes on and on how this is all tied. But of course, we've had this most recent event here down in Orlando, and there's a lot of people on the left saying immigration policy had nothing to do with that because he was born and raised here. But it's kind of funny how our immigration policies led in the immigrant parents who then turn out to be these shooters. Many on the left and right have said that because the shooter is born on American soil, that intensifying border control is meaningless simply because they're homegrown. And in fact, one of our previous guests, Kamal Saleem, he came here as an immigrant back in the mid-1980s as an Islamic infidel with the primary purpose of infiltrating our way of life in order to destroy it. So all of this then seems to me, this goes back to the question of, aren't we letting in the wrong people in the first place? But then how do we fix it?
Absolutely, we're letting in the wrong people. And we've been doing it for decades. This didn't start in 2009 with Obama. People need to understand that. He's just made it a lot worse and made us more vulnerable and to these dangers in a time when the world is on fire. It's insane that it's gotten this bad, and that for better or worse, we have to put up with six more months of him, and hopefully that's the end of it for the left-wing policies that do this. But we are letting in the wrong people. We've been doing it for decades. Yes, the shooter in Orlando, his parents were Afghan refugees, part of about 25,000 that came in the early 80s when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan. And we let these folks in, and obviously, and just by his parents alone, we know that a certain percentage had strong Sharia law tendencies and strong, radical Islamic thoughts and things. And I think this father's been not so much under the radar. Right? He's got a TV show and a radio show and all this other stuff he does. And he ran for president of Afghanistan. So he's pretty out there. And I don't think the net fell too far from the tree in this case. The son was obviously influenced by the father and maybe the parents' radical ideas. With strict Sharia law, no homosexuals, none of that stuff. So I think there's absolute ties, just there alone. But let's not forget San Bernardino. One of the shooters was a fairly recent immigrant, legal immigrant, who was just not vetted enough because of our lax policies. So we don't have to just look at any one case, but most of the shooters and the terrorists obviously seem to have some kind of ties to either they're immigrants from these radical countries, Islamist countries, or their parents were. So obviously the ties are there. It's undeniable. People can spin it any way they want, but we have to be very careful. And again, Trump is hitting that really well, I think, that we just have to be a lot more careful. The problem, when you let in 1.1 million illegal immigrants, I don't even know if that includes refugees, but refugees is a lot smaller portion either way. When you let in 1.1 million people legally every year, which is more than all the other countries in the world combined, you are by nature going to have a loose system that can be exploited, and you're going to have a lot of problems with criminals, sure, terrorists, and the like. So it really has to get under control. I wish Trump would hit on the fact, I know Jeff Sessions has, that we need to reduce legal immigration down to something reasonable, say 200,000 to 250,000 a year, like it used to be, and then we can maybe control the people coming in a lot better than we do now, because we're letting in terrorists, we're letting in everybody, and it's both legally and illegally. It's a recipe for European-style disaster here.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're letting in 1.1 million, and just 1% of those are bad actors, I mean, that's 11,000 people that could be causing Americans harm. Okay, we are up against a break here. I want to stay with us. Lots more with Jeff Schwoke. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Jeff Schwoke, a retired Marine intelligence analyst and a border security expert based in San Diego County. And in the last segment there, we were talking about these homegrown terrorists and whatnot. And one of the things that has come out this week in the wake of the Orlando shooting is this notion that a former Department of Homeland Security official, Philip Haney, has claimed that the Obama administration purged Islamic records not just once, but twice. In 2009, they purged 800 records of Muslims with terror ties from the database. In 2012, it was even more records of Muslims tied directly to the Muslim Brotherhood Network. So what do you make of this? I mean, here we are. Is this not just absolutely sabotaging our own efforts to protect ourselves?
I'm not real familiar with that report. I was out of town last week. But I'm not surprised by really anything I hear out of this lawless, corrupt regime, the Obama administration. It really has been, and it just continues to be, the most amazingly corrupt administration in my lifetime. It's just the depths that we've hit. It reminds me of communist countries that I used to study when I was working in Marine Corps intel. it's like this worst nightmare has come to our shores, and I just hope and pray the American people get it right in November, so that we don't elect another far left corrupt dictator, fascist, whatever you want to call her, which is what most people think she's going to be. So it doesn't surprise me. There's so many ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim radicals with Obama and his administration that it's unfortunate, it's scary, it's dangerous, but I think somehow we just have to try to survive the 6 months and get out of here as best as possible and hopefully turn a new chapter, turn a new leaf here.
You know, I have a lot of hope for that, and I really honestly hope that when Trump gets into office, first of all, if he gets into office, but when he gets in office, we will see a huge purging, not just of getting these illegal immigrants out of the country and trying to start getting those that come in to assimilate more and really look at becoming true Americans. Those are the people we welcome. But also just throughout the government, as you said, we've got these Muslim Brotherhood people operating right in our own White House. And it galls me that we're doing this. But I just hope that he goes in there, totally cleans house, top to bottom, get rid of some of these agencies that are helping to support these kind of anti-American activities and the EPA and everything that it is doing and funneling money to these leftist organizations. I hope we're going to see a huge purging. But getting back to that notion that this of these homegrown terrorists, there's this notion by the left that the next generation and the next generation are all going to become American. And looking at some of those Trump rallies, I can't say that that's true, because I saw a lot of young kids out there protesting and calling Trump a racist and go back to Mexico and this is Mexico and all of this other stuff. Do you see any efforts down there to have all of these immigrants come in and find ways to get them to integrate into society? Or what do you see down there?
No, it's exactly the opposite, unfortunately, at least down here in Southern California. I suspect in many places, I think it also happened up in San Jose, which is quite a bit north of here. No, you have these, and I'll be frank about it, it's Mexicans. They're Mexican kids, they're anchor babies, their parents are Mexican. We can call it Latino, we can be politically correct, Hispanic and all that, but the vast majority, overwhelming majority, over 90% probably, are Mexicans. They carry Mexican flags. They don't carry other flags. They make signs that say, yes, let's make America Mexico again. Let's take it back. This is our land. You stole it. Go back to Europe. I've attended two rallies, Costa Mesa and San Diego, just a couple weeks ago. And both times I saw it with my own eyes after the rallies. Thankfully, not much happened inside. But once we got outside, angry, vicious mobs of young people, teens all the way into their 20s and early 30s, mostly, Hispanic kids, but, we know they're Mexican. I call them Mexican because that's their heritage. Their parents are Mexican. They're born anchor babies. They're born with automatic dual citizenship, Mexican and American. So they are literally Mexican citizens, all these anchor babies are. And of course their loyalty is mostly to Mexico. There are some good kids that grow up here that want to be good Americans, but they're the minority. They're the small percentage. What you're seeing is what you're getting. It is a subversion of Mexican nationalism that they really want to live here under their own laws, much like the Muslims, and dictate to us how it's going to be. There will be no deportations. There will be no closed borders. That this is one big continent, and they are the rightful owners of it. So, sadly, it's very race-based, and their hate is coming through with Trump and his supporters. They can't stand it. This reminds me of 10 years ago when they were marching through the streets of L.A. for amnesty, millions of them. Giant mobs, and they same exact thing. Mexican flags, get off our continent. This is ours. Don't you dare tell us to leave. That kind of stuff. So it's really deja vu from 10 years ago, and now Trump and Americans are reigniting that because they can't deal with it. So they have to revert to their anarchy roots of, if we can't talk them into it, we're going to burn it down and we're going to conduct basically terrorism to get our way. So that's what we're seeing in the streets these days.
Wow. I hate to end it on that sad note, but unfortunately we are up against the clock. Jeff Schwilk, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
That is all of our time for today. Be sure to check out the events tab on iSpyRadio.com. Curtis Bowers and Agenda 2 will be in Portland, Roseburg, Coquille, and Baker City. Those are all in our listening areas. And he's in Eugene, Springfield, and Prineville as well. And be sure to check us out on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at iSpyRadio and help spread the word, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.